This week, again, we're in the Gospel According to John. Hi, this is Mike Moody, along with Jeff Buckles. And each Thursday morning from 10:15 to 10:30, we join you with this study of the Scripture in hopes to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ and for the believers that are listening, that they might be built up in the most holy faith. So let's look to the Lord in prayer to begin our study today. Father, we again count it a tremendous opportunity to open your word. We thank you for our Savior. We pray that you would do a work in our heart this morning, that you would begin with a speaker and just teach me and teach those that are listening to your word. We pray, Father, that you would do a work in any lost soul that is out there listening today by way of radio or cable vision. We just pray for your guidance, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Turn to John chapter 1, if you will. By way of review, we've seen the previous times we've looked at this study of John, the testimony coming from glory. That's what we have in the first 18 verses, speaking of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw in the first 3 verses it spoke of the Word of God. We now see in verse 4 to 13, the light of the world, speaking of our Savior again. And then from verse 14 to 18, we'll look at how God was manifest in the flesh, a testimony from glory. So we see today, verse 6, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now today, if we could just turn back to Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll see there the prophecy of this man, John the Baptist. This was some 700 years before the birth of our Lord. It was speaking of this man, John the Baptist, who is called the forerunner to Christ. We know on an earthly sense that John the Baptist was the cousin of Christ by way of the mother of our Lord, Mary, because Christ had no earthly father. For he was God, manifest in the flesh. If he had had an earthly father, he would have inherited sin. We know that is heresy. Our Savior had no earthly father, for he was without sin. We all have been born sinners. We inherit sin back to Adam, the first man. So we see Christ, by way of his mother, whom birthed him as a virgin. We have his cousin, John the Baptist, born 6 months before Christ. And he was the forerunner, the one that was to prepare the way for the Lord. In Isaiah 40 and verse 3, the prophecy said this, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." So we see here, as we think of the desert of Palestine, it's a barren land. But we know when this was spoken, we can apply it spiritually. It was a spiritually barren land. And we see here that this voice was to come to prepare the way of the Lord, to make a straight path, to prepare the road for the Lord. Let's look just a little bit first at some background chapters and verses. In the book of Luke, we see there where the birth of John the Baptist is mentioned. We see, as we've already looked at Isaiah 40, the prophecy of John the Baptist. We see in Matthew 3, it speaks of the person of John the Baptist. Then in Luke chapter 3, it speaks of the ministry of John the Baptist. And let's just tie that in with what we read in Isaiah 40. Let's see here how that quote that we read was fulfilled in Luke chapter 3. Notice the breakdown here of what it was said to be done by this forerunner, the one that had to prepare the way for the Lord. When we say prepare the way, think of a superhighway. Think of how you go through an area that has poor roads, poor travel, and you must come through there and bulldoze and flatten out the hills and build up the valleys and pour a straight path with asphalt and concrete. Widen the road. Prepare for a good journey. You know how we have these great interstates today? Think of 60, 80, 100 years ago when those were very poor traveling roads. But it's been made straight. It's been prepared for better travel. So we see as our Lord was about to be upon the scene in this public ministry, the forerunner, John the Baptist, was preparing the way. Here in John chapter 1, we could parallel that to Luke chapter 3, and it says in verse 3, reminding us of what Isaiah the prophet said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low." So here, think of this, the different aspects of society. Notice here in the prophecy fulfilled in Luke 3 that there was four areas of people noted from society. Let's apply that. In verse 5 it says, "Every valley shall be filled." Well, think of the low places in society. We think of the common people, the average multitudes. Well, it's mentioned over there in verse 10 and 11 how that they should live up to what they know is right. Then we see the high places, every mountain shall be brought low. Well, we think of this as the part of society that looks as themselves as self-righteous, that look down upon the rest of the people, full of pride. Well, this, as it's mentioned over there in verse 7 to 9, that they were told, don't be ones that think you're all right because your father is Abraham. Don't be self-sufficient, John was telling them. So we see also, thirdly, it says, the crooked shall be made straight. Well, we see over there in verse 12 and 13, it's speaking of the tax collectors, the publicans. They wanted to know what they should do. Well, John told them not to take more than is legal. That is one area of society. So we see then, finally, in the prophecy, it says that the rough ways shall be made smooth. Well, think of that as one with a difficult life, such as soldiers out there, as ones a lot of times think of carousing and brawling and such as this. We'll look down at verse 14, and the soldiers went to him wanting to know what they should do. And he says, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse him falsely. Be content with your wages." So we see a great application here that as he was preparing the way, he addressed four different classes of people. The common people, the upper class, the tax collectors, and the soldiers. And each of them, he told them what they must do to be repentant in their own heart. But we see here as he's preparing the way, he was preparing the way for our Lord. Notice this, as the scripture tells us that he was not the light, speaking of John the Baptist, but a witness of the light. Let's compare John the Baptist and Christ. We see that John was a voice in the wilderness, but Christ is the Word of God. We see that John the Baptist was a bright lamp shining forth, preparing the way, but Christ is the light of the world. We see how John the Baptist, a light that he was not the light. You know, we see how he was preparing the way. Think of people cutting down trees and axing their way through the jungle and preparing a path. Well, we see in contrast to that, that Christ was the coming king, the one that will one day put his feet upon Mount Olives, and he will be the king. He is the judge of the world. John the Baptist, the man of God, but Christ, the Savior God manifest in the flesh. So when we think of this, we think also of what the scripture has to say over in Hebrews of how Christ is so much better than the angels, better than Moses, better than everyone, even the men of God, even the women of faith mentioned in the scripture. There's no comparison between anyone and the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we speak about this one John as being a witness of the light, that all through the light might believe, we see here that our Savior was the true light. There are many false lights in the world today, but as John the Baptist prepared the way, he was pointing to the true light. If we turn back to the book of Mark, we'll see how Christ and John the Baptist were there on the scene together. Think of this one, the cousin of our Lord. He must have known this one is sinless all the way back to his childhood days. And he was there in the Jordan baptizing ones with a baptism of repentance. And then, upon the scene comes the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew that this was the sinless one, as he would cry out later, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." But in Mark chapter 1, it says in verse 9, "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So we see here that this baptism of Christ in no means was for repentance. It was to identify him with the work that was being done. Those that had repented of Israel, he was being identified with that, with this baptism. And also, secondly, it was to complete the righteousness. You know, John himself questioned over there in Matthew 4 of, "Lord, I need to be baptized of you, not you being baptized of me." But Christ made it clear that it was to complete righteousness. Christ came not to tear down or destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Christ was the one without sin. So we see here at his baptism, what did it show? It showed the beginning of his public ministry. And from this point on, we see John the Baptist fade into the background, and our Lord Jesus Christ, the true light, beginning to shine forth. We know that John the Baptist was then sent to prison shortly after for condemning a man in authority for taking his brother's wife, and he was beheaded, and his head was delivered upon a charger to that king. But we see that Christ would go on, the true light, and die on the cross for your sins and mine. John, a man sent from God. But if you notice back at the last book of the Old Testament, when it points out in such a marvelous way both John the Baptist and our Lord Jesus Christ, Malachi chapter 3, this is what was said, "Behold, this is God speaking, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." My friend, that makes it abundantly clear. As God is speaking, he says he'll send a messenger to prepare a way before himself. That this was the Lord speaking, and it was the Lord that was going to come and be upon this earth and die upon the cross for sinful men and women. "Behold, I will send my messenger," that's John the Baptist, "and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord, but whom may abide the day of his coming? So we see that Christ did come and paid for our sins. We close today by asking, do you know him today? Do you know him as your Savior? For Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody from the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. Join us next week.